traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Because at this point, I'm like, this is going to be my life now. I went through a point where I just had to work through it, where I was just like, everyone's going to die around me. And like, that's what I have to deal with. And it's just like my fault.
I just had a piece of toilet paper looked like a dookie on my face.
White. You're
dookie.
Sitting right next to him. You could easily.
It was on this side, I think. I think it was on this side.
I did not see it. I can say that honestly. I can also honestly say if I did see it, I wouldn't have said a goddamn thing. Not a thing. Hey, welcome back to Impulse, the number one podcast in the world. So that podcast that we're talking about where Mike had the speck of dust on his face.
I just want to make sure he's still a boxer. You took a couple days off. Got to make sure my
that
boy's there.
That was incredible. Maybe KSI should have put you in the God tier on his influencer boxer list.
Well, speaking of KSI, this episode is actually airing after KSI's episode.
Really?
Yeah, so we could talk about
my
London.
Favorite episode.
Aside,
great app. Mike, you didn't cut one person off that episode. You crushed that. I honest to God, I swear, I just felt like I was sitting there, I was absorbing. I felt like honored to be listening. Like, I swear, it was dope. I learned a lot. We even talked about it on the ranch.
It was funny. You came at me as like a listener of Impulsive taking some useful information from the episode.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this is really interesting.
Me and Reed have been having deep conversations just because of that.
No way.
Yeah, it f***ed me up.
So just for the listeners, the conversation George and I were having revolved around spreading yourselves too thin and focusing on one thing instead of all the things, and then just mastering and doing your best at this, and then you'll excel in that vertical more than you ever would when you do too much. You know, it's good to do a lot, but if you do too much, you're overworked and then you're less effective overall. That's what we were talking about.
Huh? Yep.
So, but yeah, bro, I knew if I was sitting across from JJ, it would be fireworks. And that's why I honestly didn't feel like we needed you there.
I know, it was good.
And Jordy was like, yo, if you need me to sit in, I was like, nah, I think he was perfect because he's a really good amplifier, breaks up the monotony,
sure.
And like would do a joke every now and then. But like, bro, JJ,
it was really their show. I just hung back.
No, that's good. He told me that afterwards, and I was happy that I wasn't there to, because that had a lot riding on it and a lot of pressure. And I'm happy I wasn't there to fucking say something at the wrong time or whatever. No, that was good. I'm happy for you guys.
He's a peer in a lot of ways, like an equal, like truly. He's almost like, I said this to him. I was like, bro, in another life, we'd probably be like, or he said this to me, in another life, we'd probably be best friends. Like, we're a lot alike. He was saying,
You guys are. It's so funny.
It was crazy. And it was cool to just have that open dialogue with him after being like rivals, like intense rivals for so long. So much so we're like, we beat the shit out of each other, like physical altercations. And now we did
a little ass eating.
Pretty much. We were really thinking
if we're going to upload this podcast to YouTube or OnlyFans. We don't know yet.
Seriously?
Yeah.
There was a lot of complimenting. Like, we were really gassing each other up.
Dick sucking contest. Wait, did you see any of the other guys?
Yes, we did a Sidemen video too.
They were right on the side of him.
Well, that upsets me.
Why?
I would love to. But I'll see him soon enough. That's awesome, man.
We went fishing. Yeah, I don't think you fish. You know, I also did his production. He did a live stream album release, like a full like 40-minute production with a really big budget. Like, the studio they had was impressive, and I made a little appearance. I was the ghost of the future.
Really?
So I got to tell him that because of his mistakes, I became the biggest star in the world. Everyone loves me now, and I made a diss track, and I'm famous.
What's the deal with their production levels out there? They have the most insane, the UK has the most insane production. Those guys
he shockingly told us the amount he spent on one that we thought it was $1 million. He only spent $100,000. So I feel like they're so new in the game when it comes to production. Like, Hollywood's been in here for a long time, so there's a lot of competing factors. But I think there you gonna get a lot of more bang for your buck.
Plus they got that Liam. What a guy. He saw that last mention when we talked about him on the podcast.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Cool, cool, cool. Yeah, but yeah, great trip. Finally, we did a podcast with KSI on it. But also today we have another guest, a very special guest. I want to bring him on. Ladies and gentlemen, he's one of the biggest producers in hip-hop today, helping craft the visions of XXX. Just hold on.
Oh, my second. God.
Ski Mask, the Sump God, and Juice WRLD.
Usually they go this way, but it's no big deal. No. Come on, put your balls against my back. What go ahead.
Fucking
restart
mess.
That. Oh, shit. Oh.
Here to share the hidden secrets of the hip-hop community, it's DJ Scheme.
What up, Scheme?
What it do, my boys? How y'all doing today?
What up, guy?
Better now, dude. Only about three people have crawled across the desk.
I feel like it felt right. It felt right.
Wait, what?
Sam, so I'm the only non-porn star to crawl over?
I think so. Pretty much, man.
This pants kind of tight.
How are you, bro?
I'm doing good, actually.
Thanks for coming in, man.
No, thank you, guys. Honestly, when Mike hit me up today, I was like, damn, it's raw.
Yeah, bro, and I don't want to put any pressure on you, but like,
he's under pressure.
Okay, good, because he said, yo, you're going to fall in love with this kid.
Straight up.
Like, I had like five different people endorse you.
I hope so.
What
man.
Is it, dude? Why are you so special?
I don't know, man. I think my superpower is I just make everybody around me better.
Mm.
I think that's my superpower.
Mm, but can people feel that right away? Because that's usually a process.
I don't know. Do you feel anything right now?
Just
look at me right
now. Not yet.
All right, cool.
Not yet. You got a great vibe. Cool. I can tell you're confident. I can tell you're like easygoing and laid back. Like, I feel comfortable around you.
Yeah,
right?
for sure.
Like, I imagine you're a lady killer, bro. Like, that's the vibe.
Like
I'm
a murderer?
No, like this guy like fucks. A murderer. Nah, like this guy fucks, like for real.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
He's about to roll one up on.
Can I like spark now or a moment where I need to like.
So I mentioned a couple weeks ago that I've been seeing Scheme a lot lately. Scheme Ski and Cole. Three of the best people I've ever had the honor of hanging out with. I mean, just great people, great vibe, great energy, super
I love
positive,
them too,
man.
Also, bro. Those guys are like. Those are my brothers for real. Like, I really got real deal love for them. I would kill for them.
And you and Cole go back.
Yeah, pretty far back. And like Ski, like we were young.
Wait, so. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Florida, actually.
How did all this stuff take off then?
You know, really it started like I grew up in like Palm Beach, which is like a smaller little city, a little bit north of Miami. And I don't know, I just like always loved music. Mm. I like played in the band when I was younger, like orchestra kind of band.
What
I played
instrument?
The trumpet.
Nice.
Yeah, I was first chair. I like
that a boy.
You feel me? I love music.
I love how you flex that first chair shit.
Oh, yeah, I got
like you've worked with the greatest artists and you're like, got first chair.
First chair in the fifth, sixth grade. Yeah, like I'm him for sure. Nah, yeah, but it was definitely like, I don't know. Nobody really does music in my family other than my grandma. And like, she just plays the piano and shit. So like, I was just, I don't know. It kind of just found me. And I was just like, all right, since I was young, I mean, like, you could probably look back on my face. Actually, I deleted my Facebook, but if you were to relook at my Facebook, I think I, like, once posted, I was like, and, like, this is not a good, like, I don't feel this way, obviously. But I was like, I'm going to kill myself if I'm not, like, doing what I want to do by the time I'm 21. So, like.
That's a young. That's
so when
young
I turned
age.
21, I was like, okay, cool, I'm killing it. I'm doing pretty good. This is all right. I'm 24 now, so we are.
Yeah.
You think there's a lot of people out there that have that kind of mindset? Like they set a certain age for themselves that they want to?
I feel like maybe nowadays a lot more. Because like, I just think that there's more opportunities for kids nowadays. Like for me back then, it was just kind of like, oh shit, you're going to release music. And there's not like SoundCloud really wasn't a thing just yet. It's kind of just starting. So it's like
neighborhood CD pass out type shit.
Yeah, for sure. Like literally, people were still passing out CDs. Like my homies were like, "Yo, let's pass out CDs."
And you'd have like your shit in the back,
dude. Yeah, like literally, it was like, I mean, that's just what it was back then. Now it's like with the internet and all everybody and all these influencers and all this shit. It's like, dude, just you got to be more outgoing as a kid now. I feel like you got to be like, I want to be famous or I want to do this.
You know what I mean? I feel like, people in our generation kind of created a lot of blueprints.
No, they did for sure.
When we were growing up, like, I didn't really know what I wanted to be, but even if I did, especially if it was a lofty goal, like an entertainer, like I want to be a DJ.
Yeah.
Right. You grew up in Florida. Like if I said that growing up, my parents, my grandparents were like
dude,
how are you going to make money, kid?
No, that's literally like, my grandparents. Like, I grew up with my grandparents like a lot. And like my grandpa's like a hardworking fucking Cuban man who like, worked like 35 years in a sugarcane mill like his whole fucking life since he got here. It's like I was doing this shit and my family was like, yo, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, literally, what the fuck are you doing? And I was just like, honestly, I don't know, but I don't really give a fuck what y'all think. So, I love my family. And now, like, as they started to see things get better, like, they're very supportive. But I will say, like, my mother, like, she my everything. And she believed in me since I was, like, when I was like, I want to do this.
Yeah.
She was like, all right, cool, fuck it, go for it.
She supported you.
Yeah, I love my mom, bro. She my everything, for real.
Where's she at right now?
She's actually in Florida right now, cooling, you know? Just relaxing. I'm
probably
sure.
Doing the same thing as you right now.
No, actually, she burn? So look, she needs to burn. My mom has epilepsy, so I've been trying to get her to smoke weed or do something with that.
She hasn't yet?
She hasn't, but she finally, like, was like, all right, I'm gonna go see a doctor in Florida. And, like,
because she has that stigma.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. She's like, I mean, when I was growing up, she finally smoked weed. She's like crying. She's like, my son. So my son does drugs.
He's like, a drug.
Are you Middle Eastern?
Literally.
Are you Middle Eastern?
No, I'm not. But I get that a lot, bro. But I'm actually just Cuban and Spaniard. That's just like my.
Like, I mean this in like the non-weirdest way I could ever say. Eastern, like, but like, dog, like, your eyelashes are on a different level.
Thank you, bro.
Like, what the fuck?
You got some nice ones too.
Hey,
boy.
Yo, what's good, man? How you doing? No, but could you just turn, look at me, look at his eyelashes, bro.
Yeah, no, that was actually when you asked me, what are you feeling right now? The first thing I fucking
like,
noticed,
your
I go, the fucking eyebrows.
You're like the wind from you fucking blinking, bro. That's what I'm feeling. Stop blinking.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it's crazy how sometimes you got to tell your family to fuck off. But I'm glad you have the one person who said, you can do this.
Yo, for sure. Yeah, my mom was like my mom and dad split up and like my dad went and had another family and stuff. So like my mom was like the only one there. She's working her ass off like. As many hours as you can possibly work at a furniture store, like taking care of me and my brother. And like, I'm super grateful for that shit, man. Like, I ain't never had shit growing up. So like being able to be here and like my mom hits me up every day and she's like, I can't believe, like, I can't believe this. And I'm like, yeah, mom, I love you. I appreciate you.
That's dope.
Has any of this ever gotten to your head?
You know what? I'm gonna keep it real. I think like, I'm too humble sometimes and it kind of like fucks me up. Like, I don't think this shit has really ever gotten to my head, bro.
Mm.
I'm like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, there's certain points where like when the Juice album came out and like the Conversations record that I had been fighting for forever, like I fought for that record for like 2 years to come out. And when it came out, it went number 7 on Billboard. And like, yo, I ain't like, you know, this is my first time doing some shit like that. And like, at first I was like, oh man, this I fucking did it. I did it. And I was just like, it lasted so short though. Like, that's literally how I am. Like, I'm just like, okay, cool. Now I got to get on to that next thing. Like, pivot.
We were just talking about this.
And get
feeling,
to going.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
try not to get caught up in the highs or the lows.
No, for sure. For sure. That's the main point too. You can't get caught up in the highs and the lows. And I got a lot of people who like look out for me. Like, shout out to Skrillex and Rex, like these amazing producers who are my homies. And like, the first thing they did was call me and be like, remember this moment and like hold it. Like, and that's about it. Other than that, just keep going.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, cool. So I don't know. I feel like I love being humble. I think that's what gets me further.
Humility's sexy, bro.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate
that. Yeah. Humility's sexy. It really
pretty
is.
Pretty sexy too.
Thanks, bro. Yeah. Thanks.
We got a little Aiden Ross moment.
Nah, I've been chilling with him too much, bro. He like.
Nah. Yeah. I was going to say, wait, what the fuck was I gonna say? Sorry, bro, I'm a boxer.
Humility.
I get hit in the head.
Yeah, so many times.
Highs and lows, getting caught in them.
Yeah, I was gonna say something important. Oh yeah. You're like you're too humble. Like you're too nice. Like if people come up to you if someone pitches you their app, like you know you have those guys.
Dude, I have a bad habit of that.
Yeah, right.
Giving motherfuckers my number.
Yeah.
Yo, bro. If y'all watching this shit, because I know a lot of people gonna watch this shit, stop asking me for my fucking number.
Wait, do you give it?
I give it every fucking time, bro. Same.
I do too. Same. I actually do too.
I still do. And I'm just like, fuck. Like the other day I was chilling. Like this kid's like, yo, listen to this. I'm like, fuck. Bro, we're like all vibing. Like I'm like, we chilling. Like there's already
music. Your ear?
Bro, there's music playing. He's like, so I'm like, yeah, bro, this is like fucking raw.
Wait, let me play it.
Meanwhile, I really hear like everyone else's conversation in the music. And I'm just like, sometimes I'll be honest. I'll be
that
like, yo,
sucks,
bro. Honestly, this, you need to like do a little something here. You need a little more confidence.
Oh, yeah, this. Yeah.
I will. I'll try my best.
Okay.
But like, to be honest, I do have a bad habit of being like, nah, this shit is this so slaps. Hard. This is it, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
No, like that is it.
Yeah.
Like that's me. I swear. But I'm working on it.
Yeah, it sucks. You'll get better at it. Like eventually, literally, it's gonna become too much of an inconvenience for your life. Where you're like, you're gonna have to tell people to fuck off.
Oh,
but do it from a place of understanding.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I am still, you know, like some fans, I'll be like, yo, bro, I'm literally physically exhausted after this show. Like, it smells like piss in this alleyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was literally like at the show we were just at. Like, it smells like shit out here. Like, we already took all these pictures. I love y'all so much. I gotta go because I'm about to pass out. I'm tired.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, you gotta like come from.
You're still a human.
Yeah, for sure.
That shit gets exhausting.
Yeah, it really does, bro.
Guys, we got another sponsor of this episode. Most guys have tried different ways to last longer, but thinking about baseball, counting to 10, saying the Pledge of Allegiance in your head, etc., doesn't always work. And that's why the folks at Roman, an online men's health company, are changing the game with Roman Swipes, the secret to longer lasting sex. Roman Swipes are a clinically proven way to last longer in bed. They're effective, easy to use, and fast acting, but don't require a prescription. Swipes are great. They will not transfer to your partner, so you can last longer without worrying. Roman ships swipes to you in a discreet, unmarked packaging, and each swipes packet is small enough to hide in your wallet for wherever you need it, and they're super easy to use. Just take the swipes out of the packet, swipe it on, let it dry, and you're good to go. That is it. Guys, go to GetRoman.com/Logan to get $10 off your first order of swipes, plus free 2-day shipping. Just make sure you click the link in the description to get $10 off swipes so you can start having longer-lasting sex. Back to the program.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And I think like a lot of people, like a lot of the people I came up with, they like put me in the same area as them. So like how people freak out about Juice and stuff sometimes. We'll be like, I can't believe like you were his friend and you made music with him. And like, I'm just like, yeah, bro. I mean, he was just a regular person too.
Yeah.
You
know?
This has been one of the more like pressurized podcasts that I was looking forward to having you on, because I know that those fans, the Juice fan base, the XXX fan base, they look at those guys as like their idols.
Dude,
they look at those guys as like, God.
I have kids that come up to me and cry.
Yeah.
Like they crying. Yeah, they dead ass crying in my
because
face.
Because of what they've done for their lives. For sure. And like making them feel better through hardships and shit like that. And being someone that's not, so I told you this as we were walking in. I was like, yo, listen, I'm by no means a historian on either of those guys or Ski. And I just want to do justice to all those people out there watching. So I guess I'll just come at it from like a more uneducated standpoint, I guess, because I know they would kill to sit here with
you.
Yeah,
for sure.
What was the journey like from head band geek in charge to
whoa, you know, first chair asshole.
First chair.
What the fuck you mean, band geek? Yeah, he was getting his flute sucked all night.
You better let him know, bro.
Yeah.
I did. I had a little shorty in the 7th grade too at the time.
Was she a violinist?
She was so
fast. Violinist?
Listen, no. She was the fastest girl like I ever met at that age. Like she was like sucking dick. Hell yeah. I'm like, shorty, I'm just getting into jerking off. Like I'm on Google taking off the privacy on my shit little phone and typing in boobs and pussy.
Yeah.
Like, I swear to God, that was me. The way I found out about jerking off. Sorry, I don't want to talk too much about jerking off.
No, do it.
Get back
bro.
To the music. But
yeah, we love jerking off.
Yeah, for sure, love jerking off. But even to this day, yo, I have it's a girlfriend. I love her, but she knows I love spanking it. Like, there's nothing like spanking that shit, bro. Like,
Your go-to time? Is it morning, night? Like, where do you...
Dude, I have like, it's like, I don't know. Sometimes it'll be like, I'll get up and I'll be like, time for a shower. I'm gonna spank that shit in the shower.
In the shower.
And then I'll be like, you know what? I'll spank in the shower and I'll get out and smoke gas and be like, dude, I'll go round 2 right now.
So you have little spank-a-thons.
B to B, back to back. And then after a while,
and
I'll
you have a girlfriend, right?
Yeah, for
you
sure.
know, I hope you're watching right now. If you were wondering where your conditioner was, shorty.
I bang that shit out.
That shit will be empty and he'll finger bang just to get up.
I'm fucking my dick up using bad shampoo on it. Like,
his girlfriend stands outside the door where he's jerking off like this.
Yo, listen, bro. in my shower, I have like a bench and it's kind of ducked off. So I sit on the bench and, yo, this is crazy. I'm saying this.
I'm never going to shower here. Right? I'm going to be like,
no, no, I have, listen, I'm rich now. I got hella showers, bro. I live in a 3-story penthouse. We good, my boy.
Did you do it every shower though?
Bro, I've jerked off in every single shower in that house.
That's got to be the opener. Yeah. That's got to be the opener.
For sure.
I'm including that in it too. You're saying it's the opener.
Yeah, you got it. No, yeah, but bro, yeah, jerking off is fire.
Yeah, especially with the bench in the shower.
No, it's nice. That's what I caught. And like if she walks in, I'm like, I'm doing business on my phone. I'm reading emails.
And she's like, why's your dick up?
She knows this now. She's like, why's your dick up? I'm like, I just got like an offer.
Hey,
I just got like money.
In the shower.
I got money on the table.
Not to get like totally personal, but I found that girls get a little like violent and aggressive when they see you master. Like,
let me tell you something.
Like what? Let me help.
Yo,
like what the fuck?
It's facts.
Right?
My girl like, why are you just jerking off to some other shorty? I'm like, you know what? This is better than, this is like, would you rather me cheat? Or would you rather me jerk off to the shorty?
I'm not talking about, that's not like coming from
what
a,
you mean
a
violent?
So, like,
she's coming here, choke my dick.
Well, yeah.
Like she's
you
like,
mean,
oh,
like why are you doing that instead of doing this?
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah no, yeah. For sure.
Like,
no.
I'm right here.
Yeah.
Like,
what's
you're
going?
My partner. What yeah. the fuck? You'd rather jerk off than just ask me to have sex? Like
sometimes I got to get personal with myself though. Okay. I got to make love to myself.
Yeah. Oh. Self-love.
You know? Self-love is very important.
Yeah.
It's important.
I feel like that's how I struggle with depression and things. I'm like, I'm going to go spank that shit.
It's a known, it's a...
I swear, like there's nothing better than jerking off sometimes.
It's a known mood booster and endorphin or dopamine dump.
Wait, how did we go from music to jerking off?
Well, you did. I didn't fucking do it.
I feel like this goes hand in hand with you.
With music?
Like, you know what I mean?
Nice.
Hand in hand.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good.
No, yeah, I like that.
Lead chair.
I mean, like
lead chair.
Oh yeah.
You're getting spanked by a seventh grader.
Oh my. Yeah. And then, she was very forward.
Right.
She was she was really on having sex. Like, so I went to like a, it was a really broke, like, private school, like Catholic school, is really shitty. Like it's really fucking bad, bro. And like the girl there, like we would be in like Spanish class, and like this is not normal at that school. Like me and her making out, like she's like giving me an OTPHJ, like you know. Like,
OTPHJ. He said this to me the other day,
over
and
the
I was
pants
like,
handjob.
No one. Has used
that
acronym.
That's crazy.
Besides me,
wow.
And Evan,
I didn't even
Evan
think
was
about
the one that coined it.
Think about
it.
Yo,
I, and he said
I've been
it to
using
me
OTPHJ for
Whoa.
So long.
That's
like, I was like, I'm putting that shit on
never
a T-shirt.
Be
on
bro, we had this girl at a neighboring school that went kind of viral locally for jerking off three different dudes in a chemistry class.
Shorty is amazing.
Same,
wait,
same
OTP?
Girl.
I want to know.
OTP?
Listen, I want to know what she's doing.
UTHPJW under the pants.
Under the work.
Okay, that's cool.
Nice.
Dude.
So you're getting handies left and
OTPs,
right.
Making out in class,
yep.
Touching the tootie.
Yep.
You know? And like that was different. Like ain't nobody was doing that at my school.
Yeah.
And you just said, fuck it. I'ma make rap music. Like it wasn't is that
nah,
like
look,
how it went?
So I was the I was like the kid at my school who's like already listening to rap.
Got
like,
it.
I have my homies like from where I live far away from the school. It was like a whole thing. I was only going out of school because my cousins were smart. And
honestly.
Shit. It's like a finesse.
Cat.
Dude.
He was like, and then she was like this. He's like.
Yeah, right? I'm like, oh yeah. Now I'm fully hip hop.
Just grabs her hello.
Right? I'm getting sucked in Spanish. Yeah. No, I wish I
whatever
got
happened to the first chair guy? He was so nice. He comes in with chains.
Now
and
he's
shit.
Sagging his pants. Fucking. Bro,
he has a J.
Oh God, I'm smoking weed. Yeah. Like, no,
did
I did.
In the chair?
It's funny though. I did smoke weed. I did smoke weed shortly, like in the eighth grade after that. So
what did you, where did you go to? What Catholic school?
No,
was
no,
this?
I got kicked out. So I was
you
getting.
Bet.
So,
I get it.
So with the girl and all that stuff, like my school had really like they were just like fed up with me, and they were just like. You should not come back or like do this anymore here. And I was like,
that was what they officially said to you.
No, I promise you.
You should
like,
just not come back or do this here.
Yeah, anymore. This is not for you, my boy. So like I was so statement. Happy. I was so happy.
Yeah.
I had a public school that was right in front of my house. All my friends went to. It was so much fun. Like my homies were smoking Black and Milds in front of the
Fire.
School. Like I'm like, yo, why can't I go here?
Right.
Where
why can't
did
I be with my
live,
homies?
Bro.
In Florida, bro. It's like that.
That makes sense.
Florida, you know what
man.
I mean? Like,
Florida,
I, my,
man,
like I had one of my homies who like drove to school. Like in the eighth grade.
He was
grade.
12.
No, no. Like, he was like 15. It's kind of crazy.
Super senior.
Yeah, he was a super senior. But yeah, bro, I was just like, I was already like there all the time, like with those friends. And I was just like, this is not for me. Like, I'm not like all these kids here. Like, I was at Catholic school. Like, no offense to anyone who's very religious, but I'm like, yo, all these stories are fake as shit. I'm like, yo, there's no Adam and Eve.
I gotta go to the bathroom.
I'm sorry.
I'm gonna go too.
I'm sorry.
Listen, these guys always make it a big. I'm very religious, but like, they make it seem like
my thing is like, no, it didn't actually happen, but they're like stories that have symbols, yeah, and that's what it's about. So like at my school, like they were very literal with it, and I was just like, it's not like.
Do you think like you were listening to him preach and then that shorty grabbed your dick and then you like stopped listening and then you were like in and out?
Bro, I never gave a fuck. So when shorty started touching my dick, I was like, this is it. This is all I care about. Like, I'm like, wait, this is raw. Well, the boys are back now. Dicks are back.
Stuck in the dick's ass.
Yeah, so anyways.
It's been a while.
I really wasn't for it. And I just was like, yo, I really just want to do this. And like when I went to that school, I'm like really got close to a couple of my homies and we started making music. His older brother was like a producer. So that's kind of where I started to get in, where I fit in type thing. And then, yeah, we just started like making noise in Florida and like doing shitty ass shows with nobody at them and fucking fighting people and putting it on the internet.
Were you fighting people because nobody showed up?
No, it was kind of like people would show up and they'd be like, they wouldn't fuck with you or something. And you'd be like, yo, fuck you. Why are you here? And they'd be like, this is disrespectful, and like you fight.
What was the sound? What was the sound at the time? First of all, distortion. Was it CDs? Oh, really?
It was like for us, it was like we're recording in a closet in a room, like shitty mic. This is like the shittiest situations, and it's like nothing is mixed, nothing is mastered. It's just literally make the song, however if it sounds the best this way, like. We didn't know what the fuck we was doing, and then it was upload to SoundCloud. It was just that. It was
you guys working off like Fruity Loops?
Actually, I think at one point we were recording on, what is that shit? I think it's Cubase or
Cubase.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Cubase, where you can record your audio on that.
Yep.
Yeah, we were making music on that, and like.
A lot of Middle Easterns use that. Are you sure you're not Middle Eastern?
No, the crazy thing.
Dude, everything that came out of Cubit.
Listen to the vibes, though. I grew up with a lot of like Palestinians and Lebanese people.
Now I'm like, you guys had the same Cubase, so you just used that on every desktop.
Exactly. So like that was really just the vibes. And it was like, we had no idea what we were doing, but it was like, it felt good. And there was just a lot of high energy. And our music mainly was like, everyone loved performing, so it was like our music has to be high energy. So like the distortion and the bass and all that, it was like we don't care about any type of mixing. We just need it to sound good on speakers at a show.
And for motherfuckers to turn up.
And to turn up. It was strictly that.
Which makes sense.
That was the only thing.
Because of all the people you worked with thereafter. All the way up to last week at Ski's show where people were hanging from the fucking rafters.
That was our energy. It was like, yo, we some dirty kids from Florida who like, went and like we're homeless now and like living at random people's houses who are like our managers, like are not managers, who are just stealing money, like literally stealing money. Yo, you can live here. Like he like these dudes are like fucking going to college at Full Sail. Like you're not a fucking manager.
Yeah.
So it was like it was cool though, you know what I mean?
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
I mean, like, we were getting some money for features because motherfuckers were making noise out there. And it was just like a really good vibe. Like it was just like the most pure, like for me, that was like, that's my most pure point in like all this whole process. And I think that like people can relate to that in any aspect of any work. It's like when you're first coming up, like that drive and the hunger and like the vibes is like, there ain't nothing better than that. Like I could go back there and like be really happy.
Now, today.
Yeah, a lot of my friends, you know, were alive back then too. And I'm just like, I want to see them too. And like, it was just, it was a beautiful thing, bro. Like I look back at that and I'm like, this is the nucleus. Like, this is what it's about. If you lose this, you have nothing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I put that towards anything I do. I'm like, there's always a main point and a main reason. If you lose that thing, like, you don't have nothing.
I call it childlike excitement. When you're just happy doing what you do because you love doing it, and yeah, that's it. If you start there, and then everything else that follows is just a bonus.
Yeah, it really is.
You know, the money, the friends, the fame.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, because at that time, it's so simple.
Yeah.
Shit's simple when you're a kid. And then as you, not always, but as you go, it becomes about money. It becomes about this. It becomes about that.
No, that's what I'm saying, the exact opposite. Do you understand?
I don't. Explain it one more time
for me. Right. Okay, so.
You could actually treat me like a five.
It's actually not about the money. It's not about the fame. It's
at the time when you're a kid.
No. And that's what I'm saying. If you continue creating for the reason that you first started
because
you loved it.
Yeah.
Right. And you use that as your nucleus of why. That's your why.
Got it.
You'll be happy
forever, even when you're an adult.
Yeah.
I forgot you just said that. Sash on my phone twice.
So you go. So you're making music.
Mm-hmm.
How does that lead into meeting X?
Crazy. So I have like a DM from him, like 2015. Or 2014. He's like, "Hi, my name's Jose Onfroy, and this is my music. Please check it out?" So me and my homie Isaiah, who raps as Wi-Fi's Funeral, we came up together, and we had already been making noise in Florida. So like, Denzel Curry knew about us, Puya, a couple of these cats that like, you know, rap now still, and are like forefronters for Florida's music. We had already kind of like been discovered by some of these dudes already coming up. And then X was like, "I want to do music too."
Yeah.
So like, he saw us kind of doing it, and so did Ski. And like, I think it's crazy. Like when Ski tells me that shit, he's like, "Man, I remember you and Wi-Fi like rapping and shit." And I'm just like, "Bro,
that's
like,
fucking
I'm
crazy."
Like I remember X told me one time at a show, he's like, "Hey man, you know you and Wi-Fi were in Broward at the show, and like all my homies were trying to jump you, and like I told him not to." And I'm like, "Thank you." I was literally like, thank God it was just me and Wi-Fi and like one homie. I'm like, we would have got fucking stomped out. But yeah, it was just dope though. Cause like he showed a lot of love and like, he like was just sending me his music. And I think like shortly after that, we like linked up at a show, and like at that point, things in Florida started to come together for like our age group of kids. And we were like me and Isaiah kind of had our little thing. Like it was like a collective called Rich Life. They had members only. And then Ski had Very Rare and all this stuff. And then we were just like, all right, put it together. What is it? Members only. It's a whole group of artists now. So that was kind of like our thing. It was like, you have to have this strong support team to make like something that's not cool yet cool. You know what I mean? You got to have a bunch of people being like, ah, nah, this is actually cool. We're in the same vibe right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, we had a lot of shit going on, and like a lot of the things that blew us up was like, yo, X went to jail at first for fucking situation with a guy. And then like the music was coming out and it was like high energy. And then there was like all this controversy between like what's going on and like what people think is happening. So I think that's kind of like what blew it up. Was like there was just so much controversy.
Another word from our sponsors. Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck. Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients. Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, cherry ice, citrus, and mint. Lucy lozenges and gums are FSA and HSA eligible, so you can use your FSA cards to purchase Lucy now. And it's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym. As you know, it's 2021. So let's get rid of our cigarettes, unplug your vapes, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple, you don't have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down. Impulsive listeners, go to lucy.co and use the promo code Logan to get 20% off on all products on your first order, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co. Use the promo code Logan at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer warning. This product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Lucy.co, and make sure to use the promo code Logan. Back to
traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today.
Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The program.
And we were just doing fuck shit. Like, there was this kid who literally, I think he paid X for a verse and X never did it. And he hit up X and he's like, hey, bro, I'm coming to your show in Orlando. And like, I'm going to fight you. And Ja was like, bet that. I can't wait to see. He was literally like, bet that. I can't wait to see you. Like, pulls up to the show. He's like, yo, Gabe, come on, let's go. I'm like, nah, bro, I'm not going to the show. Like, I'm chilling at the crib. Like, I'm trying to just smoke weed. Everyone else was like, I'm going to go. I really wish I went to this because it turned out to be amazing. But so I kick it at the apartment. They go, and I get a call after, and I'm like, bro, we just got into a huge brawl. And I'm like, fuck. I'm like, I'm pissed as fuck. I just missed this brawl. I'm like, I should have known. I'm like, this kid's pussy. He's probably not pulling up. So I didn't go. It was an amazing brawl. Fucking Ja pulls up to the show and he walks in and goes, where the fuck is this kid? Like, he don't even give a fuck about performing, nothing. He's just like, where's this kid? Let's go outside, fight me right now. And the kid and him square up and he beats the living shit out of him. Like, he beat, bro. Like, there's a picture of him like holding him in a headlock on the ground. And like, X is just literally shirtless holding him and the kid's face is blood. Like, we have to pull that up, honestly.
Damn.
It's the cover to Young Brats. Like, look that up. Young Brats cover. And it's like a record that he put out and shit. And it was like, bro, the record Young Brats is basically like,
oh,
like, I'm a fuck. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if I can show this.
Yeah, no, you definitely can't.
Fuck.
Definitely cannot.
No, this looks like it's on Live League type shit.
No, yeah, you definitely cannot. He beat his ass, though. There's a whole video. It is such a good video.
Bro, he's just smiling.
It's such a good fight. Such a good fight.
There's a video.
Look this shit up right now. It's a great fight, bro. Ja patches him up. He really beats his ass.
But I'm saying, was it a good fight or was it a beatdown?
I mean, nah. I mean, they was, you know, moving around and squaring around kind of nice. But listen, this is one thing, bro. This is the littlest dude with the most heart and the most hands I ever met. Like, he loved fighting.
Yo, you could tell. I would always see his videos of him squaring up. And then one time he got...
That was his thing. Near the end, it was like, I want to start really learning how to fight. Like, he was learning from boxers. Like, this one boxer from Manchester who's, like, this dude who, like, be training with Floyd who used to and shit. And, like, Ja literally would be like, yo, me and you, we waking up tomorrow and sparring. Like,
shut the fuck up.
There was a point...
Up.
I mean, bro, when we were working on I think it was 17... It might have been question mark album. I don't know. We were staying at the Beverly Hills Hotel and it was, he was coming through all the time and it was like, we would do nothing but slap box and like work out and
no
like,
fucking
like
way.
He would go to the gym and like fight this guy and like be like, yo, like don't go all out on me, but like just beat my ass because I know you're better than me because I'm trying to get better. And that was his whole thing. Like, he was like, I will lose 1,000 times and like, it's going to make me better. Like, to the best person. That was his whole mindset. It was like, I need to fight someone who I know can fucking murder me until I get good enough to not get my ass whooped.
That's fucking
I feel like
wild.
That's something that you really like. Like, that you fuck with. Yeah, yeah.
I fuck with it because I'm not like that.
I know. I feel you.
That's like, I'd like to think I'm kind of a special person.
No, you are. Like, and I, the whole bro, fighting thing.
But there's levels to this shit, right?
Oh, yeah,
and every time I hear a story about X... Or even just like listening to his music or watching the progression or even like you see these videos pop up every now and then. He was so wise beyond his years. Like almost like an otherworldly like being that he was just blessed with the wisdom that who knows where it
and
came
it was
from.
Like that since we were like young. So like I'm being real, like living in it at that, like when you're young, you're like, dude, please shut the fuck up. Like you're like, bro. I'm like looking at him like, bro, you're annoying me right now. Like I'm trying to just focus and chill. And he was always just like, nah, man, it's like this. And like, I'm telling you like, and you know, like later on when you like, you're just like, fuck man.
Ahead.
You're just like, you know what, man? This is where I do. Like, I'm like, okay, I get a little spiritual. And I'm like, there's something else, you know, out there. And like, there's more in the world. Nah, yeah, you know, those special moments are the things that like remind you of those things. And it's just a blessing. But yeah, he was a blessing in like a whole. And it honestly was so insane because like he was like one of those things where you appreciate it more after. And I think that his supporters also like understand that. And like that was like his concept. It was kind of like, I'm here for as much time as I can be, but when I'm gone, like everything gonna make sense. And I'm just like, every day I'm like learning new things. I'm just like, all right, cool. I appreciate that, Ja. Like, put that in my pocket, keep it there. You know? But nah, man, he was just special, bro. Like, he was like, bro, when I tell you, there's a video. I mean, you guys don't know this, but like, there's another video of like, this is kind of one of the first things that went viral. He was at a show and like, dude pulls out a gun on him. Like, straight up, pulls out a gun in his face. And he's like, shoot me, bitch, shoot me. You ain't gonna shoot shit. Like, it's a whole ass video. And he's in his face. The dude's pointing a gun at him. He's like, I don't give a fuck. You ain't gonna do shit, bitch. I know you're not gonna shoot me. And I'm just like, all right, everybody's gangster, right? And everybody thinks like, yo, yeah, I'm like that. But trust me, when some shit go down like that,
shit changes up.
And there's a video. I promise you, you ain't gonna act like that. So it was like things like that where I was just like, damn, like this dude is really like, he really with it. Like he really like what he believes in. Like he was the definition of you could say it and it gonna happen. You know what I mean? Like even to the most literal and sad point where it was like, he talked about, I'm gonna die. Like I'm gonna get killed. And like it actually happened. Like I'm just like, yo bro, who's the philosopher guy that read the stars? Nostradamus. I'm like, yo, this is one of them. I'm like, it don't make sense. But, you know, you live and you learn and you understand. You're like, oh, shit, it's just some people that are like that. And you got to, like, appreciate that for what it is. And that's about it. And, like, you got to take the good and the bad from it. I think that that's the most beautiful thing about the whole thing of, like, X. Is, like, bro, like, everybody fucks up. Everybody does bad shit. We all are young. We all make bad decisions. I'm making bad decisions every day. I probably woke up and made a bad decision today. It's like, nowadays, there's so many opinions and there's so much shit that everybody got to feel like they got to say about every little thing. It's like, I'm just like, you know what it's like to be in that light and like all your mistakes be like
right there.
This big?
Yeah.
I'm like, I just want to grab a random kid who likes to talk shit on the internet. And I'm just like, hey, come here, bro. Let me put you right here and expose who you are and every little thing about you. Mm. And then see how that feels.
I see you go.
Like, yo, see how that feels, my boy, because it don't feel good. Mm. Sometimes it feels great.
I see you handle some of these schmucks online sometimes.
I mean, I do. I'm like, yo, fuck you. You don't know what the fuck you talking about, bro. Like, I'm like, I really lived through this shit.
Facts.
Like, I'm traumatized from some shit in my life, from all this shit. And it's just like, yo, you got to, like, take the good from it. That's what I learned.
I also know that you've changed.
Yeah.
A little bit at least. Mm-hmm. And I know you talk a lot about the fights that used to go down back in the day.
For sure.
And we were outside Ski's show the other night and some shit popped off between somebody in our crew and someone in a different crew.
Yeah.
And it could have quickly turned into, it was turning into something.
It was.
And you know how shit goes after the
It was, shows. It was.
Nobody was stopping it.
Nah, hell no, they wasn't.
You stopped it.
Yeah.
You walked in and you said,
yo,
not fucking here.
Nah, yeah, I snapped. I can't lie, I snapped. And I was like right after the show, so like, I had just like, so after shows now, I try to like focus on like listening to my breathing and like really just sitting there and like, cause I just exhorted so much of my like essence of who I am as a person. Like every show I do, anything I do, I'm like giving you my everything. Mm. I'm giving you my everything. Even right now, I'm giving y'all a lot. And like, you know, that's just the type of person I am. So I'm like exhausted. I'm like, I already went through my little meditation thing I do where I'm like, cover my ears and I'm just like trying to listen to myself breathe and I'm just like, all right, I'm gonna walk outside and see everyone because I know everyone's outside right now and I see just people I know arguing in this shit and I'm just like, yo guys, I'm not about to do this here, not around me, because if y'all start fighting, I don't give a fuck who is who. I'm hitting every single person until y'all figure it the fuck out.
And he said it with so much authority that it literally stopped it. These weren't small people.
Well, I'm the smallest person there, bro.
And they both were like 30 seconds later, it was like, yo, my bad.
Dapping
like,
up.
That was a miscommunication.
Yeah, y'all better dap each other up.
Shut that shit down, bro.
Bro, you better shake his hand in front of me.
On the flip side,
hey, I can see you. Hey, cut that shit out. I'm going back to meditation.
Dude, I was literally like, I'm trying to chill. I'm trying to see y'all. And y'all are over here doing this. I'm like, no.
On the flip side, those shows come with so much energy. And this was a light thing, so I'll bring it up. But on the front end of the show, I seen you and Tarek.
Yes.
Get into a little tiny little thing.
Hell yeah.
What causes those kind of things to happen between friends, and like, do you see that happening often right before a show, right after a show?
Okay,
like,
so this was our first show together. And I just want to say this first. I want to say I love Ski so much. That is my brother. I don't even know what camera.
Shout out Ski.
I love Ski so much. That is real deal. My brother, that's my twin for life. Me and him, we done been through it all. You feel me? So it's our first time performing together, like in front of the supporters and like our family and shit. So like everything was like very high energy and it was very intense that day. Even though like that's probably the smallest show that we've played in 3 years. Maybe.
It was packed.
And it was slammed in that motherfucker. Yeah. But you know what I mean? It's just like, there's a lot of like tension there where like me and Ski, we really don't care about like being one of those artists. And I know this is kind of a bad thing. We're working on it. Where we're like, we have to get a set list and do this whole thing. Like, I hope you know, like we created that set list like 5 minutes before we went on stage and I printed out a piece of paper and put it next to me. And like throughout the whole show, like it's like me and Ski, like, guiding each other and bouncing each other to where we want to go on certain songs that he's made and we've made together. So it's kind of just like when you're doing things like that right before they start to happen and like the magic happens, there's like a lot of, oh my God, we don't want any little fuck up to ruin that, those moments. And like, I'm gonna say what it was. I went to bring out Aiden on stage because like I was like, yo, I want Aiden to see this. I know he's probably never experienced that. And he like poked his head out and then like they're all going crazy. So like I kind of walk out, Aiden follows me. I look back and everyone's on stage and I didn't see Tarek, but they see Tarek and they're like, yo, Tarek says, get the fuck off the stage. And I'm already getting off the stage at this point anyways. So I'm just like, all right, cool. I'm just like, yo, everybody get the fuck back. I'm just like, all right, it's cool. I'm just laughing about it. And I get down to the steps and Tarek's like, yo, what the fuck, Gabe? He's like, it's Ski's night. Don't try to upstage him. And I'm like, hold on. I'm like, first of all, I'm around all y'all. I'm like, he's my manager. I love Tarek. That's like my stepdad also. Like, I love Tarek. He's like my best friend, like father figure, all that. And I'm just like, hey, bro, what'd I say? I was like, hey, bro, don't do that shit right now. Yeah. I said, hey, any other time, I don't give a fuck. Right now, don't do that shit. And he looked at me and he was just like, and turned around and then
then he came back not too long after and I admired the way you guys really quickly squash it and how much love was so visible and palpable from the moment you squashed it so quickly and right like that you were back to business.
Yeah.
And I can relate to that shit because when you work alongside people that you love,
I'm sure it's like that with you guys.
We've gotten into a million of those type of
100%.
Things. 100%. And it looks like you've gotten to a point now where you're focused on the greater goal. You know what I'm saying? And you ain't gonna let some dumb ego, none of that shit fuck with you, you know?
Listen. Ego be the first thing that kill everything.
Ego, the death of man.
It is the death of man. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I've tripped on mushrooms and acid and a bunch of other shit enough to know like I've had a lot of ego deaths myself to where I'm just like, oh shit. To where like now I'm like, I try to like really remove my ego and everything. Not always fully because ego also in the creative process is like super important. Super important.
Is that confidence or ego?
It's a little bit of both. Okay. It's a little bit of both. I don't think you can have the other without the other one. I don't know. That's just me kind of personally. I'm like, yo, when you got that confidence, that's like, you know, it's part of like the whole ego thing. It's like it feeds it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You just got to know how much to feed it.
Balance.
There's a balance to it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just think that that's like what's important is like you said, is like that end goal. The end goal is like so important to me.
So you start working with X, mm-hmm. you start traveling, doing shows, all that stuff with X. Yeah. You've seen probably more X, you know, and all that shit than mostly anybody else.
Yeah.
What was that the end of that like for you? What was X's death like for that like for you and just talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know for sure. You know, I think that's probably one of the most like sacred and like a little traumatizing points in my life. But I'm just like I said earlier, I try to take the good from it. And I mean, like near the end, it was kind of like, and this is the most important part that I stress about him, is like change is very important. and allowing people to change is like the most important thing. Like, yeah, change is cool and everyone can appreciate change when like they like it. But like if you can allow a person to change and like better themselves, I think that's like more important than like your own personal like of a change. You get what I'm trying to say?
Absolutely, I do.
So like, I don't know. It was something that like, it just taught me so much where I'm understanding a person from where they are at their lowest, getting some success, seeing like the ego grow and take over, and then watching the ego, the bad part of it, start to like know that it's not welcome anymore. And like, that's what he was doing. And it was just crazy to see, because I try to change a lot about myself like every day. There's just things I'm trying to change and I'm trying to work on. And that's what I appreciate most about him, was he was so like head first about his shit. So when he felt something, it was like, I'm going to do it. If I don't do it, I'm a bitch. And I'm not a bitch. Last thing I am is a bitch. That was like his mindset. So he's like, okay, I really believe that there's more than just like what I was set up in my life with. Like, could imagine what it really was like for him growing up and like his situations and like just knowing that he was a person that needed attention, more attention. Maybe he felt like he didn't get a lot as a kid and stuff like that. So I don't know, for him, for like the whole concept of the end part was like, I got to see him become a better person. And like, this is one of my most precious moments. And because I love you, I will say it. But there was this point, the Helping Hand Challenge, it was like a show that he had. It was like his challenge that he had on Instagram where he was giving back to the community. And it was like, all right, we're going to throw a show in Broward and pull up to that shit. We're donating money and giving shit away. So, and it was for, basically all that was like inspired by the Stone Douglas shooting in Parkland. So he was like, I want to give back to that community because I'm around there now. Now I live here. Like, that's technically like in the same area, but Parkland's like a very, very rich area. And like, he now has moved there, that part of like Broward and that at this point. And he's just like, man, I got to do something good for the community. Like, I got to change. I have to, like, it's more than just saying that you change. You have to actually physically do things to make your mind and your body like really do the change. It's more than just saying it. So he started to do these things. And there was this point at the show, but right before the show, where he's like, come to my house. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going to come over. I'm going to pull up. I'm excited. I'm like, we haven't done a show since the last show that we got canceled. And we had threw a show in Tampa and it, like, the fans destroyed the whole street and the vent, like, literally his I-8 pulled up and they were like scratching it because they were all clawing at it. Like, the show got, it was done. We fucked it up.
Right.
Police, it was just bad. We went to Tampa for no reason. We literally just did nothing. And
it's crazy.
So
not the worst place.
So like, we're in Broward now, home city, right? And I pull up to his house and I'm like, yo man, like, I just want to let you know, like, all the stuff I'm seeing, like, is awesome. I'm proud of you. And he's just getting a haircut and it's like so beautiful. Like, I wish I could paint it. Like, his house is super, super beautiful. Like, it's insane. And like, he's sitting in this huge living room with like family around the house and stuff. And like, this is good. Like, he didn't have family around all the time. So it's like really nice to see, like, you know, like his grandma, like his mom and everyone around. And he's just like getting a haircut, talking to me. We're having a conversation. And then he gets up and then he like kind of moves weird and I like flinch. And he's like, he looks at me, he's like, I'm not like that anymore. I hope you know that. Like, I'm not gonna just grab you and like, or like punch you in the arm or like any of those things. Like, he's like, I wanna show you something. So like, he walks me outside and he's just like, we're in at the front of his house at this point, and he's like, look at all this stuff. Like, look at this. Like, this is my home. Like, honestly, it kind of makes me like, it makes me emotional thinking about it because it was so beautiful. But he's just like, this is my home, man. Like, I have a garden. Like, I like, look at the grass. Like, look at my trees. He's like, this is it now. Like, I'm happy. Like, and we did have a personal conversation. At the time, I had like introduced him a long time ago, actually, to my friend who was a girl who is now his baby mother and the mother to his child and all that. And he was like asking me some stuff about her, and it's just some person. I don't even have to share that. It's whatever. But it was just like, you know, I don't know. I at that moment, I was just like really seeing it in person. Like I was like, he was more soft spoken. Like he was allowing me to speak to him and him actually be understanding. To like, sometimes before it was like his mind was going at 1,000 so fast that he was just like, yeah, he's listening to what you're saying, but in his mind it's like, I have my end goal. I'm running at 1,000 miles per hour at it. You're just like adding something to it, you know? So like at this point that I'm talking about now, it was like, it was just beautiful. And like, there was so much love. And like, we did the show, and before there was points where like, if I ever fucked up, he was like, in, on stage, he'd be like, Gabe, what the fuck? And I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, you don't ever give me a chance to not fuck up. Cause like, he wouldn't give me a set list. He would expect me to like know it off of like him rapping a few words off the song. Like I'd just have to scroll and type it and find it and play it right away. There was like cues that he would give me where it would be like small finger cues and small things to stop the show or continue the song. I'm just like learning all of this. Cause like, I'm not the most experienced DJ at this point. I'm young as fuck. And like, and I'm not good. I was not really good at that point. The truth about it was I like, my personality stood out a lot, and like, I'm outspoken a lot, and like, I'm good on the mic. That was like my main point, was like, I'm good on talking at the mic. Like, I can scream and I can control a crowd and tell motherfuckers what to do and they gonna hear me. Like my voice here is so much different from my show voice. And I think like you guys got to see that.
Yeah, for sure.
Like it's totally different.
For sure.
And I think that he just respected that. And I think he saw like, I knew the music and I was someone who was there from day one. And he was like, I trust you with this job. It's a very important job and I trust you with it. So you fucking up is like, you're really blowing it. Cause I'm really, he was like that with everyone. He's like, I'm all in on you, bro. So you fuck up, it's your ass. I really like, I'm dead ass serious. It was really like that. Like he would be like, I love you so much. Like no homo. Like if this is the last thing I got, or like last, like the bed, we all sleeping on this bed, all 16 of us piled up. Like, I don't give a damn. We together. And I think that that comes from him needing the feeling of family and wanting to be close to people more. And I'm just like, at this show, I fucked up and I didn't have a song. And he was just like the fans were like, oh, I want to hear it. You know, like they're like, fuck. And he's like, yo, don't say shit to him. Like, he's good. My bad. I didn't tell him that I wanted to play the song today. And I'm like, yo, who the fuck is this person? I'm like, who are you right now? And I'm just like that show, there's a lot of, like, I have videos from it. And like, I look back on that. And I'm like, I just genuinely was so happy. And he was so happy. And like at that time, him and Ski, like, I think Ski was in New York, and like, it was a little bit after like their disagreements on stuff. They kind of like separated a little bit, and like, he called Ski and like played one of his songs and just like held the phone. I think I called Ski, but he took my phone and he was like, just like, that's it. Like, this is you here. And like, it's just like, bro, it was like something nice to see, like him and his mom and him hugging his mom and like kissing her on the cheek and like him being with his girl. And like, it was just like a beautiful thing. And then like, he told me shortly after that, like, he's like, yo, she's pregnant. I'm having a kid. He's like, you an uncle. And I'm like, oh man, this is crazy. I'm like, this is it. Like, this is a whole family now. And we about to go on tour in Europe. Like, he's getting like $500,000 a show in Europe to go fucking play some festival in Russia, like close it out. Yeah, like, this is like, he prided himself off of being like so exclusive that like, when he was ready to come back out, it was like, I need that $500,000. I need 350, 400. If I ain't getting that, I ain't pulling up. Y'all ain't gonna get me. So he created that much of a demand for him that it was like, okay, we ready. Let's go out there. We're gonna do it. And he's like, yo, bro, like, I'm poor as fuck at this point. And he's like, yo, bro, like, you really about to start getting paid and really start about, like, all this shit's about to really happen. And then one day, fucking, he gets killed. And it's just like, for me personally, it was like, I had taken a lot from him where it was like, as much as like, I give myself to my friends too. I give my, like, every piece of me to my family and my friends. So at that point I was all in. Like, I'm all in here. I just, like, I left Tallahassee. Me and my girl were living up there. I left. I'm like, we back down here. This is it. Like, this is what I got. And, like, he just was killed. Like, some random people, like, took him from me. And I'm just like I still remember that day, like, a bad nightmare. Like, I'm, like, chilling at my girl's house. And this is actually how I found out. So a kid hit me up who his father, I guess, owned Riva, is the manager there. And he sends me, like, pictures of, like, an I-8, the door open. And you can't see much. And there's, like, no cops there. And he's like, my dad just sent me this, said that X got shot. And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, I could probably even find the DMs of that kid if the kid DM'd me right now. But I try not to, like, I'm gonna keep it real. I don't even look at that video. I don't look at pictures. I do not even, if you're watching this, don't even send me that shit. And if you do, fuck you, I'm gonna block your stupid ass. Don't bother me with that shit, because it fucked me up. But yeah, like, I just remember that moment of, like, finding out, and, like, I just called Ski. First thing I did was I gotta call Ski. I'm like, yo, he got shot. He ain't dead, but he got shot. And I'm getting updates, like, from his girl, who's, like, my childhood best friend. And, like, she's just like, yo, he gonna be all right. He on the way to the hospital, all this shit, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, I don't know. It's just a lot, you know? So, we got locked out of my homie's car at Chick-fil-A. Like, I don't even know how. It was just, like, the worst day ever. So I just remember, like, finding out the news when I found out, like, they tried to bring him back a bunch of times. He kind of, you know, was coming back, and he just didn't make it. I was just, like, I just laid down. I remember laying down. I was, like, in the mulch at the Chick-fil-A on 441 in their parking lot, and I was just laying down in the mulch. I was just laying down, and I was just, like, crying, and I was just, like, looking up at the sky. Like, I was just, like, begging. I'm like, this is, like, nah. Like, I'm like, this ain't it. And, like, I still don't think that, like that day was just, it was just so weird for me. Like, unreal. Like, and I still think to this day, I'm like, when am I gonna wake up and he gonna be here, you know? But I'm just like, man, it was just like, at the point where everything was good and you thought everything was good, it's like, you never really do know. And it's just like, I think that his whole thing, what is it like when you die for something? Is it like a martyr? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like he's like that a lot. Like, he died for a lot of people. And it was just like, you got to be understanding of being able to change. I think that is, nowadays, it is, I cannot stress it enough. Like, that's my whole thing. My only two thing is, like, create what you love and, like, be open to change.
Give people a chance.
Give people a fucking chance, bro.
So maybe that's the takeaway.
Yeah, that's for sure.
A takeaway.
That's probably my biggest thing from that.
We've spoke about it on this show. It takes a really, really evolved person to be willing to be open to change. As you say, it's hard. I mean, it's hard. You know, a lot of people,
the hardest things.
Oh, so many people are stuck in their ways. It's so much easier to know what you know.
Exactly.
And like, not open your mind.
And like, yo, you grow up as like, you don't grow up as a smart, like, you don't spawn into this world as like a smart thing. Like, you come into this world knowing nothing but like what you see, smell, and touch around you, and like what your parents teach you. It's like, I know there's some kids that are like raised in the middle of the country that like, and I've heard them. I try to hear people out, and they're like, hey man, I didn't go to school with one black person. And like, that's why like all this shit, like I feel like this about it. And I'm just like, I'm like, I almost just feel bad for you, where I'm just like, and I'm trying to like be understanding of the situation as much. And I don't know. It's tough, but you got to be though. You gotta be. You have to be in this life. Like, if you're not doing that, you're not even giving yourself a chance to like really know what else is out there. And like, I think that I love people. So I'm like, I want to know the worst of the worst, and I want to know the best of the best. And like, what makes you that way, or why? I don't know.
Did the fact that X found peace offer you like solace? You know what I'm saying? Like, offer you a little bit of peace?
I know, like, it's such a tough thing to say. Like, you know, when it's one of those things, but I just know that he found peace. he don't got to feel hate. He don't got to feel love. And I think that that's very important. And I think that, like, being able to go on to the next thing, because that's what I just think, like, the next part of life is like, not having to feel hate and love and pain and sorrow, whatever the fuck, all these little things that, like,
being free.
Yeah, you really free. You don't have to, like, you don't got to worry. So I'm sure he's, like, up there, left, right, wherever the fuck people go that chill around in the next thing. And he's there, like,
throwing the deuces out, just chilling.
I'm out here chilling. I'm probably doing push-ups, fighting with someone. Like,
so,
I don't know.
So, okay, so that happens. That's mm-hmm. a chapter for you.
Yeah.
Right? What comes next? Is it Cole? Do you meet Cole first, no. or do you meet Juice first?
What comes next is the bond. So the bond with Ski was already
massive.
Already massive. To the point where, like, I was kind of the person who, like, sometimes Ja would hit up and be like, how's Ski doing? You know, like, kind of in between the two.
You were that guy.
Sometimes. Yeah, yeah. You know, it just was like that sometimes. So me and Ski got even closer, you know? At one point, and there's no issue with any of our friends and stuff, but some of our friends started to push us away a little bit just because a lot of people, like, expected stuff from, like, Ski and me and shit. Just, like they wanted, everyone wanted Ski to, like, torch is yours now. Mm. Ski's like, yo, I'm my own person. Like, I'm trying to live too. Like, that's a big burden. And it is the biggest burden ever. Like, to this day, still probably. But, you know, so me and him got closer because we were kind of both put in that same location after. And then I think that bond strengthening was, and experiencing Ja passing away, Ski was, like, more understanding on, like, being more present around his, like, loved ones. And I think that everyone got closer there. And then music started to get really good. And there was a strong passion. And there was that drive. And there was the do it for the homie thing. And then in that essence of all that, like, we're finding out a lot about ourselves and, like, who we are as individuals. And that's kind of, like, where the DJ Scheme thing was, like, I mean, there's a specific conversation on tour Ski had with me. And I'm sorry to go backwards, but it was on the Revenge Tour right after we got jumped by Rob Stone's homies and shit and, like, all that shit. It was crazy. Got into a huge brawl on stage and Ski, like, me and my original homeboy fell out and Ski, like, he just came to me and he said, yo, I got you. We got each other. We here. We gonna be the best. I promise you that. And I think about that all the time. Even, like, when me and Ski do something really dope, I'll, like, put my arm around him and whisper to him and I'll be like, hey, you remember that conversation? And he's just like, I never stopped thinking about it. You know what I mean? It's like just one of those things where I feel like it added to what happened next. So the next thing was Stokely and working on that album and that piece classic of his music and all that stuff. And that was the point where I was like, man, I want to keep everything in here and with my family. I want to hold them really, really close because I don't want to lose nobody. So then that chapter is kind of blows by through quick and it goes into the Juice thing where we meet Juice. And then, and that was the point where I went back on what I was thinking before, where I was like, I don't want to let anybody in to, like, my heart and creative process and, like, friendship and, like, just all that. I don't want to let nobody in. I've got what I got right now. And my hands are full. And meeting him was like a breath of fresh air to the music, to the dynamic of all of our friendships and stuff. It was just so dope. And I don't know, man. He was just special. And just, I don't know.
Talk a little bit about Juice's style and what made him different than anybody you've ever fucking seen before. Like, how he acted in the booth. Like.
So, you know what's crazy is what made him different was that I could relate to him a lot. And I feel like a lot of my friends, there's things that we can relate to, but not to that extreme where me and Juice had it. So it was, like, kind of weird where I'd be like, yo, I have this fond memory of this episode on this show. And he's like, bro, I can't. Oh, my God. We got to watch it right now.
Right.
Like, it was such a it was like seeing myself like in another person. And I'm just like, yo, like, just we, you gang. You're gang. This is it. And like, we all hit it off real fast. And there was like the connection of the music already coming from kind of the same places of like the upbringings and all the stuff, like him being from Chicago, SoundCloud era, all the stuff. So it kind of just all tied in and everyone hit it off. And Juice was special because his whole thing was Juice could be anyone and anything. He could talk to the most proper person or he could be in the hood with gang and all these people that he be with. And it's the same thing. He could bring it to any, he could come down to any level. And that's something that I love, that like, that I love to do with people. I'm like, yo, you from here, this part of your life or whatever, I'm gonna try my best to get there. You know, like I'm gonna try my best because I feel like that's where we're gonna get the best out of each other. Like the best conversation, the ideas, empathy. Everything. The empathy is so important. Yeah. So there was just so much of that there. And I don't know, man. He was so pure. I think a good example for Juice is like, he's like euphoric to the point where it's like, what's the thing? Nostalgic. There we go. He's nostalgic because his memory was so good where he could pull anything from any like chapter in his mind and be like, this is it by name. I could draw it for you. I could sing it for you. Probably best. And that was like his thing. Mm. So meeting a person like that was like super important for me at that point in my life where I was kind of like hurt. I didn't know what was really going on. Couldn't really trust many people. And then meeting someone like him to where I was like, so I had heard of Juice already way before through Alamo, which was a record company who was trying to sign him very, very early on. And they ended up not getting him in Interscope. They kind of like, it was whatever. I'm not trying to talk business, but yeah. So they ended, whatever, but they were on him very, very early. Like SoundCloud days, he had no fucking views. Like I'm listening to this shit. Like this is the hardest artist ever. I'm this is it. This is fucking, this is it. New. So when he kind of reached back out and was like, yo, I love you guys. His best friend Carlton, who I produce with a lot now, he's like, man, me and Jay used to like watch what you guys would do like on Snapchat and Instagram and all the X shit and everything. And we're still like the same age low key. So I'm just like, damn, this is crazy. And he already knew so much about me and Ski and shit to where it was like, kind of like we already knew each other, it felt like. And then, you know, I think, and this is like from the musician side and like a lot of musicians who see this will appreciate it. But going on tour with another artist or another group and becoming close is like, ain't none closer than that. Cause tour is like
war.
It's a gauntlet.
It's it. Yeah, every night it's the Super Bowl. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can't say much. Just know that. I can't say much, but it's the Super Bowl every night. And like you're smashing shit. The energy's at a fucking all-time high. Everybody's confidence and everybody's just like what I call on demon time. Everybody's on demon time all the time. Like you're just enjoying everything. And there's so much like endorphins being released and so much love going around that like you get close. Like it's gang after that. Yeah. You spend one tour, one 30 to 40 city tour together and you did a whole year together, trust me. Or no, a whole year, whole 10 years, really. Yeah, you now you know the person and like their deepest, darkest secrets and like what really makes them tick and shit. So it's like, you know, like you, bro, y'all all on buses and in the same hotel rooms every day, in the same venue every day, doing the same shit. So you get very close. So I think that that was one of the most important things was that tour, the Death Race for Love tour, which was literally one of the best tours I've ever been on in my life. I don't give a fuck anybody else's tours or what the fuck they've done. That shit was so crazy. Like, we not even that big. Like, I'm like 22, Juice like 20, or I'm 21, Juice 20, Ski like 22. We all chilling. We're selling out fucking amphitheaters. We brought out 23,000 people in Connecticut. Like, yo, suck my dick. Ain't nobody doing that shit. Ain't nobody was doing that shit. We had, it was like a half Lyrical Lemonade thing too, where like Cole was like part of the thing where they'd have like a, Jake would come out and fucking DJ and DJ for like NLE Chopper, the baby, like all these artists that like are now doing crazy big shit. Things, like it was all being part of the tour. And it was just something that was like organic and genuine. Like when we got offered that tour, Ski and I were like, oh yeah, we there. Like we already there, by the way. Just let us know when to pull up. Let us know when to pull up, we there. And the way that it worked out was like, Ski was supposed to open up for Juice. And Ski ended up being late as fuck the first show. And I'm there and Pete and everyone's like, yo, where the fuck is Ski, Gabe? Like, what the fuck is going on? And I'm just like, says about 30, but I say about 2 hours. I say about 2 hours for show. And
Pete's flipping out.
Literally, Pete's flipping out. Everyone's flipping out. And Juice is like, gotta go on. So Juice goes on halfway through a set. Juice plays he has a break part, whatever. So instead of that, it was like Ski performs. And like, I think that dynamic of them two bouncing off each other, where it's like Juice starts off the main part of the show, then there's a break, but it's not really a break. It's the opposite of a break. It's like me and Ski, and everyone's like dead. And then Juice comes back and he's like, doom, 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 doom. You know what I mean? Like Death Race for Love vibes. Everything's calm. But everybody's singing their hearts out. But like, never seen a tour with that kind of dynamic where it was like beautiful love songs and then rage, fire. Like Ski being like, hey man, jump the fucking barricade. I'm like, break every fucking rule in the venue. Literally, I said that at the last show. I'm like, break every rule at the venue. I don't give a fuck.
That's why the other day.
Bro, in Connecticut, we made people jump over the safety fences. We got in so much trouble by Live Nation. Oh, we get in trouble all the time. By the way, I hope this doesn't make anyone not book us. But listen, no one's ever been, people have been injured, I lied. But for sure, it's crazy. Pull up to the show. If your mom doesn't let you go to the show, sneak out. Fuck that shit.
At the show
it's
the other
crazy.
Day, he was like, people throwing water bottles. You better not be. I was like,
yeah, what I say is they threw something at Ski. Ski don't even give a fuck.
No, he don't give
but
a
Ski's
shit.
Security guard, yeah. Ant, bro, I love Ant. Yo, shouts out to Ant. That's my big bro.
It's a big guy.
Yeah, he's like, he looks at, first of all, I can't even hear what he's saying, but he goes, Gabe, stop, get on the mic and say something. But he don't really say that. He just like sign languaging it at the show. And I'm like, I got you after the song. And I'm like, whoever threw that fucking water bottle, I don't give a fuck who threw it. Don't throw shit on stage because he's going to fuck you up. Not me, not Ski. He's going to fuck you up.
And he doesn't even flinch. He just stands there.
And it's just like
stone face.
And it's like, I'll probably beat all 1,000 of you guys at once.
So we could, we honestly could, this could be a 6-hour show.
Oh like, no, it could. Up.
But, so you come off that tour. Talk a little bit about what that chapter ending was like. I'll always remember your reaction on Twitter when you found out.
For sure.
Which was basically not again.
No, yeah.
And just another tragic fucking end.
Mm-hmm.
To a really, really, really valuable, talented person.
Yeah, man.
And did what happened with X train you at all? Did you feel like you were more ready for something like that to happen?
There's some shit that like, my homie Carlton, which is like Juice's friend that he grew up with since like young age, right? Prior to Juice passing away, like a couple months, maybe 2 months or so, we were going to a Lakers game. And I was like, hey, man, I know Juice is not around. And I just want you guys to hear this. It was like his cousin, another one of his homies. And I'm just like, yo, what's going on right now is so beautiful and so special. Please hold that shit dear. Because like, you never know. I was like, yo, I was here 2 years ago with my friend and he was taken from me. Please take care of him. And take care of yourself in this situation. And if anything ever happens, y'all boys, remember this conversation and just know I'm here for you. And like that conversation just bit me in the ass so hard because I think about it all the time now. And like Carlton, when that shit happened, he spoke to me about that conversation. I'm just like it definitely trained me, but like I don't think it's something I could have been trained for as much as I thought. I think I probably... At that point, maybe I thought I could have handled it better because Juice was like, me and him having conversations, walking around like our house. We lived at the same house at this point. We lived right here, right down the street from here.
I remember that. No, we know.
Like, we riding dirt bikes every day around y'all crib. Yeah. I told him today, I'm like, yo, you send me this address. And I'm like, I got chills, bro. Like,
White Oak Boys.
White Oak Boys, like, straight up. Like, we was, like, this was it. Like, man, like, so we would have conversations where he was like, yo, man, if I ever go, like, take care of Allie and, like, just make sure things are okay. Please. I trust you. And he was like, just know I got you. I got your girl. I got Lex. I got your family. Whatever. I'm here if anything ever happens to you. I just think about that conversation so much. Like it was just like in the morning, like we both like shirtless, like kind of like, ugh. And like for him to say something like that to me, I'm just like, why? Like, why are you gonna tell me some shit like that? Like it hurts so bad to think about. And that chapter, like there's no way I could have prepared myself for that. I was at a casino on tour. I had just spoken to him about coming to Chicago with him, and he wanted me and Ski to cancel our show to come see him. Like, it was just so much. Like, I'm gambling. I had just lost 20 grand. So I'm like, I don't even give a fuck at this point. I lost 20 grand, whatever. I'm just like in a bad mood kind of at the casino because I'm like, I gotta go get more cash to pull out. Like, this is the cash I came with. I'm like, whatever. Like, least of my problems that night, obviously. And then like my phone was dead at this point. So I'm not getting shit, right? Our security guard aunt like grabs my shoulder and he's like, Gabe, like, give me your money. Like, give me all your shit. Like, what? Why? And he's like holds me, like puts his hands on my shoulder. He's like, I need you, like, what I'm about to tell you, I need you to, like not freak out. I'm like, what? And Ski wasn't with us, and we were on tour, and, like, Ski hadn't been feeling good, so I'm like, my heart drops. I'm like, where's Ski? First thing, that's how much I wasn't even worried about Juice, you know? To where he, like, shows me this fucking stupid-ass TMZ thing where that's, like, Juice passes away. And I'm just like, I dropped everything in my hands. And like, I never had this. I've never had an attack like that where I like couldn't breathe. I fell against the wall and I was like hyperventilating. I just couldn't breathe. And I don't even know what was going on. I was just kept saying like, yo, no, like, nah, this ain't real. This ain't real. I was like, this is some bullshit. I started getting loud in there. Like, aunt grabbed me. He take me outside. I'm just like sitting there like weeping in my fucking hands. Like, I'm just like, bro, what the fuck? Like, this is not... This ain't, like, I'm like, fuck no. At this point, I'm like, fuck no. This ain't it. No fucking way. There's got to be something. This is a lie. This is a fucking lie. And then, you know, after like 30, 40 minutes, like the adrenaline and everything wears off. And I'm just like, this is misery. I'm like, I don't even want to live. I'm like, I don't want this. If this is what this shit is, because at this point, I'm like, this is going to be my life now. Like, I went through a point where I just had to work through it and shit, where I was just like, everyone's going to die around me. And like, that's what I have to deal with. And it's just like my fault. I don't know. Something that whatever the fuck the creator or whatever life is, like, I don't know, whatever you want to believe in. I'm just like, this is what I got to deal with. I have to deal with it. Okay. And I'm just like, what are you supposed to do? Like, I'm just like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. Like, this is not my life. This can't be my life. But I'm like, it is. At that point, it is. So I just remember, like, honestly, a lot of that shit's kind of like fucked up in my mind. And like, there's bits and pieces. Like, I just remember finishing that tour and just every night crying. Like, I remember just every night was like just me. This is me being very honest with you guys. I'm just sitting in the shower crying. I'm just sitting in the shower. I'm just sitting here like on tour. I'm like, my bitch ass is on tour. Like, I can't do shit. And I had to go and tell Ski. I was the first. I had to wake Ski up and be like, yo, bro, I'm sorry. Again, Juice passed away. I got to deal with that now. Like, man, that shit sucks, bro. Like, love your people. Like, love them while they're here. Like, love each other. Like, everyone love each other. Like, give people a chance to change. Like, be there as much as you can. And if you can't be there, let somebody know something. I don't know. I don't know. That's all. That's what I took from this is like, please love and please care while it's here. Cause you don't never know when it's going to be gone. And he was so special to me in ways that like, I couldn't even compare to Jose, how important he was to me too. It was like, it's like two different dynamics in my life. And I don't know, man. They changed me, bro. For sure, they did. And I, hopefully for the better, you feel me? But
and the communities and the
and
audience.
The communities for sure and the audience.
I was at the Rolling Loud LA right after Juice passed, and there was a
tribute thing.
A tribute.
Yeah.
And I just remember the feeling in the space that night. It was just crazy. And Allie came out on the stage. You were with her.
Mm-hmm.
You went out with her.
Yeah, I did.
And everybody had their phones up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so like weird. The impact that those guys had on their audience, man, was just hard to compare, man.
I try to tell them, I'm like, I know the impact they had as you, as like an audience. Like, this is my family, bro. Like, I lost people my whole life. Like, I lost my best. I lost one of my first people, like my good friends when I was like 13. I lost my homie who put me on to like underground music and shit. I was like 16, maybe. I don't know. Like, losing people my whole life. So I'm just like, I don't know. Be appreciative and love.
Did you ever, I know you said you had a falling out. Was that with Wi-Fi?
Mm-hmm.
Did y'all ever fix that?
Yeah. I mean, for sure we did. I mean, we don't talk often anymore. I'll be honest. But man, I love him. I love like some of the most pure moments. Shit. We was homeless together. We was broke. We was finessing, doing whatever the fuck we could.
He's had his own come up. Yeah, and we honestly could go forever here.
Yeah,
but,
for sure.
What about now? Like, you're crushing it now. You're with Ski, making crazy music, getting the attention that you guys both deserve.
Thank you.
What's coming down the pipe over the next 6 to 12?
To be real with you, work on the Ski album, really get the world a Ski album, not like a little mixtape with just some vibes. Like, we really want to go all out, work with like favorite artists, favorite producers, really just tap in as far as we can to our sound that we have and expand more. And I guess for me, it's just kind of like live and enjoy people around me more. I think that's where literally all my inspiration comes from. Like, I'm the definition of I ain't shit without my homies. And when people tell me that, I'm like they like, oh yeah, you ain't shit without X and Juice. I'm like, I got two people pretty good behind me though, huh? And they pretty good, huh? Enough for you to say some dumb shit like that, bitch. Fuck you. I'm like, I work hard, bro. I know why I'm here. I do a lot. I do sometimes more for, not sometimes. I do more for everyone around me than I do for myself.
Nice.
I don't care about that shit, bro. That's just how I am. That's how my mother raised me. Shout out to Carmen, my beautiful, sweet angel of a mother who's never fucking sinned a day in her life. She gonna love that. I love you, mom. And you feel me? I'm just like, yo, bro, my whole shit is I'm here to create. I'm here to create my shit. I'm not here to create the best shit in the world. I don't care about none of that shit. I'm here to do my shit. And I know people like that shit. And I know I'm good at what I do. And from the wise words of my boy Skrillex, he said, hey man, when you know what you're doing, just don't stop doing that thing.
Mic drop.
Hey. I just want to say we had a lot of opportunities, you know, and we were trying to figure out like who the guest was for tonight, this and that. And honestly, Gabe, you are honestly probably one, it may be the most elevated, just moving guest that we've had on the show. Like, honestly, like, this is my favorite show. And I said before you came on today, I said, yo, this is about to be your new favorite show. Straight up, bro. Because you have a crazy head on your shoulders that's super fucking elevated, bro.
I love y'all for having this platform and like just even me being in your mind. Like when you hit me up, I was like, my barber, I think he be cutting y'all up too, or your brother and stuff
Jay?
Too. Yeah.
Jay?
From Toronto?
Yeah, from Toronto.
Literally, he was here 2 days ago.
Yeah. I know. So check it. He's like cutting my hair. This kid's been cutting my hair forever, and he doesn't let me fucking pay him for a haircut.
Ever.
So I'm going to buy you a fucking bust down, bitch. I got to get you something nice, bro. A car. I don't know what you, whatever the fuck you want. We going to talk. I got your number. You know it. But like, he's literally like, yo, like you should go do this. I don't know how or whatever, but like, you should go do it. And I kind of brought it up to them at one point. He said that and he was like, oh, and they thought it would kind of be cool, you know, or whatever. And I was like, so yo, shouts out to my boy, man.
That's fantastic.
He's
bro.
A dope guy.
You delivered like big time.
So.
Yeah, I know it's our first time meeting, but
for sure.
Mike said it, incredibly elevated, charismatic, and just thoughtful. Like you got a real good head on your shoulders. You
thank you, man.
You understand, you pay attention, you listen, and it sounds like you've been willing to learn, grow, and adapt.
For sure.
Over the years, which is really what it's all about, bro. Yeah. And I wish you nothing but the best, man.
Thank you, man.
Like you got a bright future ahead of
you. I'm working hard every day, man. I got some, man, some heat, boy.
Shout out them socials real quick.
Oh, yeah. Make sure you follow me on everything, man. It's at DJ Scheme on pretty much every single thing except Twitter, which has an underscore, which someone on Twitter watching this shit, fix my shit now. I'm verified. Take my fucking underscore off. That shit is so lame, bro. Please.
Well, appreciate you, bro. Yeah. Hey, thank you all for listening to Impulsive. It's the number one podcast in the world. We love you. We appreciate you. Hit that number subscribe one. Button. We'll see you next time.
Hang out right there, real.
Peace.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.